Bizchus, the Choshev Tzibur, we, Baruch Hashem, covered ground yesterday, and it was very, very geschmack. Today, we were trying to plumb the depths of a different sugya, and that's the question of Choyvu v'chaveri. We're not discussing at this point damages to somebody else's property. We're discussing harming somebody else, injuring somebody with permission. I don't mean to denigrate anybody, but I would say that a lot of us, more sensible, cautious people, whether there was or there wasn't a pasuk in the Torah, wouldn't put ourselves in a place where we might be harmed or damaged. But there are daredevils in the world, and there are people who don't mind to take risks, and there are people who don't mind to be hurt. The Torah, however, says that, allow in the Torah, that you're not allowed to harm another person. Let's take an extreme example. You're not allowed to kill somebody. He gives you permission to kill him. Allowed or not allowed? Not allowed. The issa in the Torah of Ritzicha is ben adam l'chaveiro ben adam l'mokim. It's a ben adam l'chaveiro. It's my responsibility towards somebody else. And yet, even if he gives me permission to kill him, I'm not allowed to kill him. What do we see? You can have something which is primarily, basically, a ben adam l'chaveiro, but the chaveiro himself doesn't even have the ability to give you the permission to do it. It's enshrined in law in the Torah that there's a din of ben adam l'chaveiro, don't kill somebody else. Then we find...
Is it because he's not a bow on his own
day? Maybe. Maybe later this afternoon we'll be able to make that statement clearer. Maybe. But the din is clear. There's no question about it that permission doesn't allow you to kill somebody else. Maybe that's the reason. Okay. Now, the Torah then went on and said that beyond the issa in the Torah to kill somebody, there's also an issa to hit somebody, or at least to hit them in a way that's going to make him bleed. Whether he'll bleed internally or externally is irrelevant. To make a chavala is forbidden. Taich of a chavala, definition is when somebody bleeds. So I'm not allowed to hit somebody. What about if he gives me permission? What about if it's a sport? What about if he's happy, not only gives me permission, but he encourages me to do it? Will I be allowed to do this? This is the first discussion for this afternoon. If you have the booklet there in front of you, Rabbi Yisai, and you turn to page Ayin Hay, I apologize in the name of the organizers that today, besides having the Torah Shebikzav, a little bit of Torah Shebalpeh, and the Torah Shebalpeh exists in the form of extra pieces of paper. This is the way the Rebbe Shem wanted it to work out for today. So, if you turn to page Ayin Hay, we'll go through the pages quickly, just that we have an idea of the sugi that we're looking at today, the first sugi we're looking at today. Page Ayin Zayin is the posuk in the Torah, Arboim Yakenu Lo Yosef. From this posuk we learn that you're not allowed to hit somebody else. What about with permission? So if you turn over to the next page, page Ayin Ches. Ayin Ches isn't discussing directly the question that we are addressing. Ayin Ches is for purposes of illustration. The Torah forbids me to hit somebody else. It's a lav in the Torah. I'm not saying a lav is allowed, but it's only a lav. Hitting parents, Rachmona Litzlan, is a chiyuv misa. Make ova v'imoy mois yumos. To hit a parent is extremely very strict. The discussion in page Ayin Ches is when a father or a mother needs bloodletting or needs taking out a splinter, and with the splinter, I might make my father bleed. Can I do that job or not? It's a situation which occurs very often in today's world where parents actually are more comfortable when their children do jobs for them. But on the other hand, these jobs could entail making some blood come from the father or the mother. A chavala. And the Gemara, the way it appears in front of us, says that it's forbidden because maybe He'll make his father bleed at the same time. My father asked me to do it. My father's moichel me. Nevertheless, the Torah forbids drawing blood from parents. What does this show? It illustrates the fact that you can have something where the Torah forbade you to do it, and even mechila doesn't help. Now, the halacha lemaisa on this Gemara on page Ayin Ches is something for if a person is in that situation, has to ask a shayla to a rav. Generally, what the rav will tell you is, if the father or the mother wants the child to do this job for them, of giving them an injection or whatever it might be, merely because my son is cheap, he's available, I don't need to pay a nurse, the son still shouldn't do that job, or for his father or his mother. On the other hand, when the parents actually want dafka the son because I believe that my son is going to do a better job than some nurse out there, then very often the rabbonim will allow it. That's not the discussion right now. What we need from this Gemara is that you can, the concept of something being forbidden, even with a mechila. If you turn then to page I in Tess, you have a very interesting story in the Gemara, and the Gemara would seem to say at the end of the Gemara that you're not even allowed to hit yourself. If you can't hit yourself, then as you say correctly, if I can't hit myself, how can I give permission to somebody else to do so? So it would seem on page Ayin Tes. Turn over to page Pei and you get, a separate discussion. Whether the Issa of Choyvel Ba'atzmoy is only with blood. Lichoyra only with blood. Lichoyra. I say only Lichoyra. Now, page Pei Aleph is a photocopy of the Minchas Chinuch. Not all of the, those who work for the yeshiva in the, printing department are such major Talmidei Chachamim. So what happened was that they were asked to copy Minchas Chinuch, which they got, Mitzvah Memches, which they got, Ois Gimel. Now, Ois Gimel, there's original Ois Gimels in the original Minchas Chinuch that we got for our Bar Mitzvahs, and then there's Ois Gimel in the new Minchas Chinuch that people like using today, the edition of Machon Yerushalayim. So, bless them, the people in the office photocopied Minchas Chinuch. For those who want to learn Memches, Ois Gimel in the original Tefus, I'm sure it's very, very interesting. It's there in the booklet on page Pei Aleph. If you want to learn what we're learning this afternoon, you're going to need the separate piece of paper, which is in the new Ois Gimel, in the new edition that we like to use today, where the Minchas Chinuch interestingly says, his stand on this is that a person can give permission to hit him, and if he gives that permission, there's no lav at all. What does it mean every time you find in the Gemara that mechila doesn't help? It only means that we suspect that the fellow doesn't really mean it. Because most normal, balanced people are not giving permission to be hit. So it doesn't really mean it. But if we were to be able to prove that the fellow really means it, such as the discussion today that since, I don't know, 1970, we have this sport called paintball, which I get so much hanor from it that the hanor outweighs whatever might happen to me. And even the quarter of a percent possibility of goodness knows what happening to somebody, even that he's prepared to take on. So if you know that he really means his mechila, the Minchas Chinuch holds that it works. While we're on that same subject, you have another photocopy which is fascinating. That's from the Maralbach. These two are the ones who hold that mechila helps. One is the Minchas Chinuch, which you have, and the other is Maralbach. Do you have it there, Rabbi Isai? Now, I'll give you a little bit of a background to this Maralbach. Going back 500 years ago, okay, we'll start with information which belongs to you, not to me, Rabbi Isai. In 1492, Christopher Columbus set sail for the Americas. At exactly the same time, the Jews were expelled from Spain, and we had this whole tkufa, this phase of the Maranos, the Anusim, in Spain. The Maranos were doing their best to hide their identity and at the same time keep up their Yiddishkeit. From time to time, you were arrived in a situation where you could not help yourself. If you're not going to eat the chalev that your Goyisha friends are eating, then you're giving away the game. So you had no choice. You had to eat the chalev. A lot of these Anusim, these Maranos, later came to Eretz Yisrael, where they met up with a whole load of Gedolei Olam in Tzfas who originally came from Spain. The greatest amongst them was the Reis of Karo. The Shulchan Aruch himself was a little kid of 4 years old, but the Marik and many others were all those who were expelled from Spain. When these people were now able to practice Yiddishkeit in an open way, and they learned more Torah, and they learned that for every kazayis of chalev that you eat, there's a chiyuv of koros, which is extremely very severe. And there's no way out of koros, except for, says the Gemara in Makkos, if you get malchus and beis din, then however difficult the malchus is, but it patters you from the chiyuv of koros. So these people came to the very famous Mahari Beirav, Rabbi Yaakov Beirav, who was in Tzfas at the time, and they begged of him, please give me 39 lashes. I'd rather get 39 lashes in this world than a chi of chorus in the next world. And in fact, they asked, give me 39 lashes for each kazayis of chalev that I ate when I was in Spain. So it happened 4 times, and each time I ate 3 kazayisim of chalev. So I want 12 times 39 malchus. I'm prepared to go through all this as long as I'm not going to have a chiv koros hanging over my head. That was the situation at the time. What's the problem? To give malchus is really a lav in the Torah. I'm not allowed to hit you. When am I allowed to give you malchus? If I am a real beis din. What's a real beis din? If you have smicha. Smicha really means from my Rebbe, who got from his Rebbe, who got from his Rebbe, all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. That terminated in the days of Hillel HaSheni, round about the year 400 or 350 of the current era, when smicha fizzled out, or maybe was stamped out, we can say, by the Romans, so that we don't have a smicha anymore. So we're talking now in the year 1492. It's already 1,000 years there's no smicha in Klal Yisrael, and we have people begging, please give me malchus. And if I get malchus, I won't have koros. It's in my interest to have malchus, but we don't have a beis din of smuchim. This was the very famous story in which Mahari Beirav wanted to reinstitute the opinion of the Rambam, where the Rambam says that if you get all the Chachamim and Yisrael together to agree that one person is going to be the musmach, you don't need smicha through the generations all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's one way of getting smicha. And the other way of getting smicha is if all the Chachmei Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael decide on one person and give him smicha. At that time, Mahari Beirav in Tzfas wanted to do this as a toiva to the people, the Maranos who had come to Tzfas. And the Maharal Bach, who was the Rav in Yerushalayim at the time, disagreed. And they had a major, major dispute which involved all the Chachomim in Eretz Yisrael, those who sided with Mahari Beirav, and those who sided with Maharal Bach. At that time, they wrote letters to one another, frequently from Tzfas to Yerushalayim. The tones were quite raised, not quite like the Machloksen of today, but yes, they were very, very strong expressions used at the time. And Toich Kedei, all these discussions, the Maharal Bach, who was the Rav in Yerushalayim, wrote one of his letters, and that's in front of you over there, Kuntras HaSmicha. Kuntras HaSmicha means at the back of the Truas Maharal Bach, we have on record the letters which went backwards and forwards between the Maharal Bach and Mahari Beirav, and in the right-hand column, towards the end of the column, that's where you'll have his discussion. His discussion there is, if I'm not entitled to give malchus Midin based in, because the Maharal Bach disagrees with this great idea of all the Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael coming, can I anyway give him malchus because he doesn't mind I give him malchus? In fact, not only doesn't mind I give him malchus, he's begging me to give him malchus. Can I give him malchus or no? Is the only way you can give him malchus if you must give him malchus? When can you be in a situation when you must give him malchus? For that, you need a based in with a smicha. So the Maharal Bach writes over here exactly the same as the Minchas Chinuch, that with permission you're allowed to give malchus. Sorry?
Is that malchus?
Indeed so. Indeed so. So Moira de Kamatzov, there's 2 times in history of Klal Yisrael where we have a person, everyone agrees, the Gemara says, that Mechila doesn't help. What are the Minchas Chinuch and Maharal Bach hold? That when we say Mechila doesn't help, it means he doesn't really mean it. So if you find a situation where he really means his Mechila, you'll be able to give him Petch. How do you have a person who's so mad that he really means it that I'm moichel you? So there's two mashalim in the history of Klal Yisrael. One is the Maranus who came in the 1500s and they begged, give me Malkus that I shouldn't get Korus. And then there was a lapse of another 500 years where there was no mad person until paintballing came and we had again this new situation where people were actually happy that you should give him Pech and he should go through this, but he wanted it to happen. These are the two mashalim. Not that sort of Malkus. I mean, like, you know, I had a Zedo who got 39 Malkus on Erev Yom Kippur. It wasn't so terrible. Not so terrible. No, Ritzicha not. Very good. You asked extremely well. Your kasha is very good. Very good. Okay? Now. If you have, Rabbeisai, I invite you, if you have a month available, we'll go through the Kuntras HaSmicha. You'll enjoy every minute of it, I promise you, of the entire dispute between the Maral Bach and Maribe Rav. It's really, really interesting. What should we do this afternoon? We're taking one little column, one little paragraph in the middle of this whole Kuntras. However, if you keep going in the booklet, you'll find a host of those who disagree, who say a person is not a Bailim on his own body, and he doesn't have the ability, and no mechila in the world is going to help you. That you'll find on page Pei Beis in the Rivash, and Pei Gimel in the Chazanish, and in page Pei Dalad is a tshuva of Rav Moshe, interestingly, where Rav Moshe, on the one hand, he sides with the Chazanish and the Rivash that you can't give permission, and on the other hand, he tempers it a little bit, Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe says that the lav of hitting somebody in the Lashon of the Rambam is if you hit him derech nitzoyon, you hit him out of anger, or you hit him out of a way of frustration, or showing your displeasure. So Rav Moshe says, if you hit somebody with permission, such a small tap that it's the damage that it might do, the maximum damage it can do is going to be worth less than a shava pruta, which is really a little tap. So if it's less than a shava pruta, Rav Moshe says that's not called derech nitzoyin. It's not the way of people who fight to give such a little tap. And in such a case, he holds a mechila help. So Rav Moshe is really walking between the two opinions and allowing a certain amount. That's on page Pei Dalet. Now, Pei Vav Pei Zayin is another discussion where two people are wrestling together, and it's agreed in the first place that each one of them is going to expend his maximum to get the other guy in the wrestling ring down on the ground. And obviously, as might well happen in such a situation, you hurt him at the same time. And it's a question over here of whether, if you do such a thing, the Rosh and the Shulchan Aruch are discussing whether you need to pay if you did damage him or not. The question is, this discussion of the Rosh and the Shulchan Aruch, were these people doing an Aveira when they did this? And we're just discussing after the Aveira whether they need to pay? Or can this be brought as a proof to the opinion of the Minchas Chinuch and the Maral Bach that with permission you're actually allowed to do so? Now, if we get as far as this, and we've still got more time before Rabbi Kalas comes, I would refer you to a continuation which you'll find in the booklet for tomorrow. Tomorrow's got its huge, big, long program. If you look on page Tzadi over here, you'll see the second column says number 5. Number 5 is talking about, also about Mechila between Ben Adam and Chavere, but a different situation. It's not a question like we have been discussing till now, does Mechila help to allow you that there's no Avera in what you're doing? What the discussion on page Tzadi is, I already did something to somebody, so I've got to pay him. After I've paid him, we all learned when we were kids in school, it's not good enough to pay him, you actually need to go and ask him mechila. Now, although we were taught that, the Mora said that, and the Mora said it in the name of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, but it's worth a little bit of iyun, it's not so simple like the Mora said. So the Mar Mekoymus on this question of whether you need to go and subduedly knock on the door and beg his mechila after paying him for the damages is a discussion on page Tzadi, which refers you to later in the booklet, Kuf Yud Ches, Kuf Yud Tes, etc. Rabbi Isaac, looking forward to all the discussions this afternoon. B'shur Tov u'Metzlachas.